Hello, and welcome to Conversations with the Academy, a podcast from the University of Arkansas School of Law. My name is Dorinda Sharp.
And I'm Colin Hesse. On this episode, Dorinda talks with David Epstein, the George E. Allen Chair at the University of Richmond School of Law, and a former dean of the University of Arkansas School of Law. He was on campus as part of the Law School Speaker Exchange to discuss his research on third-party beneficiary law.
We hope you enjoy the conversation. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be back in Fayetteville.
Great. You are here for our faculty speaker exchange. You want to talk a little bit about what you're going to visit with the faculty about today?
Sure. What's become customary in law school teaching is that before you submit a new article to be published in a professional journal, that you go to various law schools and the term that's used is workshop. You workshop your article. You present your article to faculties other than your own for their comments and criticism. And given the opportunity to workshop an article, my first choice of school to come back to was the school at which I had once been dean, the University of Arkansas. So here I am.
Great. And what's your article about?
One of the subjects I teach is contract law, and so this article is in the general area of contracts. It deals with the specific question of when can a person who was not herself a party to that contract still enforce a contract made by others. The example that's going to be most familiar to people, of course, is a life insurance contract.
Okay.
Obviously, what happens in a life insurance contract is a person contracts with an insurance company to pay the policy benefits to some third party who was not a part to that contract. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, those kinds of contracts had to be enforceable by a third party or nobody would buy insurance.
Yeah, because you're not, by definition, there to argue on your own behalf.
Yeah. So it's about third-party contract rights.
Okay. And the title is an app for third-party beneficiary law. Is the app a play on?
That's what passes for humor.
Okay.
In law teaching. And let me simply leave it at that. That's just a law professor's effort to be humorous.
Okay. Well, I've noticed in some of your other titles of scholarly articles, you use that play on words. There's one that's 50 Shades of Grey, one that's not just Anna Nicole Smith, cleavage and bankruptcy. When did that start?
I plead guilty. It probably is part of my misspent youth, a youth that, at least in my own mind, is not yet over.
Okay. Do you keep up with popular culture, or do you look for certain things?
Well, I probably keep up with popular culture as much as a man of my advanced years is able to. But happily, I'm also the beneficiary of two sons and a grandson and a granddaughter.
That's great. And you also write about practical uses. You do some op-eds and things like that. Where did that start in your career?
Well, before going into teaching, I was what my kids would call a real lawyer. And sort of in mid-career, I took a vacation from being a school teacher and practiced law with a law firm based in Atlanta for about 10 years. And so I've always tried to keep connected with the bar, with practicing law. And that's one of the real strengths of your law school here in Fayetteville. And one of the things that impressed me most during my time as dean was the unique relationship that the law school here in Fayetteville has with not just the bar in Northwest Arkansas, but the bar throughout Arkansas.
That's great. So do you enjoy that balance, or do you like one more than the other?
Well, people come to law school. They come to the University of Arkansas, or they come to the University of Richmond to be lawyers. They don't want my job. They want to learn how to be lawyers. And so I think the more that I understand what lawyers do And the more closely I'm connected to the bar, the more helpful I can be to our students. And again, you know, that's a real strength, certainly was a real strength of the law school when I was here. And from everything I know, remains one of the real strengths of the law school here in Fayetteville.
You have a specialty in contracts and bankruptcy. What led you to that field of study?
A series of events in which I was, in essence, the low man on the totem pole. Wasn't what I went to law school to do. Wasn't what I thought I was interested in law school, after law school, in doing. But when I joined a law firm as the low person on the totem pole, turned out that's what the law firm needed me to do. Then when I went into teaching, turned out that's what the law school needed me to do. So
That's a nice coincidence that those dovetailed.
Okay. It's worked out okay.
What brought you from practice to teaching?
I think I've always been interested in teaching. My father, who was not a teacher by profession, was just an incredibly able teacher. I can still remember, my father going over junior high school lessons and high school lessons with me. Mm-hmm. And, on reflection through the years, have borrowed so many of the techniques that he used in teaching. I think that probably it was that childhood interaction with my father that spurred this interest in teaching.
That's great. What do you like most about it now that you've been doing it a while?
Well, I think what I've always liked about it, and it seems to me what's so special about being a teacher is making a difference in people's lives. In a classroom where if you're looking at your students carefully and you're doing what you ought to be doing, there are going to be times when you literally see a light bulb go off over someone's head. And it's just this feeling that you're making a meaningful difference in the lives of others. And, of course, when I was here at the University of Arkansas Law School, when so many of our students were first generation getting a higher education, mm-hmm. it was that sense that I was playing a part in providing opportunities for these men and women that their parents and grandparents all the way back had never had. And that's an incredibly satisfying feeling.
I would think so. And then, also while you were here at the university and then also for some time at Emory University in Atlanta, you served as a dean. In what way does that complement or contrast your time as a teacher, and how does that happen?
Being a dean's a wonderful job. Because then you feel like you're making not only a difference in the lives of individual students, but hopefully a difference in the life of an institution, which serves not just the students, but in the instance of the University of Arkansas, the state. And in some ways, being a law school dean is the ideal blend of teaching and practicing, because like a practicing attorney, you're a problem solver, or you're playing a role in solving problems. And every problem is different. Every day is different. You never know what sort of challenges are going to be available to you until you walk in the office that day.
Great. So do you miss being an administrator?
I've missed every job that I've had, which is problematic since I've had so many different jobs. Well, I take it back. With one exception, I worked on an assembly line when I was one summer in college. I don't miss that job. But other than that, I've really been blessed in what I've been able to do.
The University of Arkansas is a land-grant institution, and we are charged with, or our faculty are charged with, a balance of teaching and research and service. Could you talk a little bit about that balance and how it works and maybe sometimes doesn't?
Well, I can certainly talk about how it works, and I can certainly talk about how it worked here at the University of Arkansas when I was a part of the University of Arkansas. And I was fortunate to be here in what I think was the golden age of the law school, although I'm sure everybody, whatever years they were at the law school, would think about it as being the golden age of the law school. But when you think about having a faculty that is a blend of scholarship and contributions to the state in terms of scholarship and contributions to the state in the form of teaching. I think of the University of Arkansas during those years as being a model. Thinking back to the people that I had the pleasure of working with here at Arkansas, I was fortunate. I was at the University of Arkansas during the career of Dr. Robert Loeffler. Of course, a lot of people in this state have been touched directly or indirectly by the work of Dr. Loeffler. Dr. Loeffler was a world-class scholar, as well as being an effective teacher. While I was at the University of Arkansas, we also were fortunate to have a young professor, Steve Nichols, who then and for the remainder of his career has been just a prodigious scholar, who in a very different area from Dr. Loeffler has come to have a great career and recognition as a world-class scholar. And of course, both Steve and the doc were also very, very effective and very popular classroom teachers. But we had people that contributed to the law school so significantly by their extraordinary teaching. And just two of the examples that come to mind are Al Witte and Dick Atkinson. And each, through his teaching in the classroom, through his teaching of students individually, in casual conversations, and in offices, you know, made a tremendous difference in the lives of hundreds of women and men, who in turn have made a tremendous difference in the state. And so you're absolutely right. And it's not just for land-grant colleges. It's important that schools, law schools and other schools, provide a blend of teaching and scholarship. And I think the University of Arkansas has got that right.
You talk about folks like Dick Atkinson and Al Witte, who being at the university today, you hear stories upon stories about them. And I was just wondering if you have any memories you could share about either of them or students who were here while you were dean or any of the above.
You know, when I think of Al Witte and Dick Atkinson, who on the surface you would think of as being very different people. You know, the same adjective comes to mind with both, and that's caring. In very different ways, with very different demeanors and very different personalities and very different skill sets. Each was very caring, and I think that students that had the privilege of getting to know either one would, on reflection, say, you know, that's a person that really cared about me, that cared that I learned, that cared about what happened to me. But I was here in Fayetteville at a very special time in my life. I came to Fayetteville with a young son, and happily, during the time we were in Fayetteville, our second son was born. And so, you know, the friends that we made, in part through our children, you know, going to the park, memories of going to the park with our kids and seeing our kids play in the park, or going to, I don't know if it was the only McDonald's then, but going to one of the McDonald's.
Which would have been right by your house on Woolsey.
It was very close to that was, yes, we've got the same memory. No, I just have wonderful memories of Arkansas. It was a very special period in our lives. As I say, one of my sons, although I don't think he really thinks of himself that way, is a Razorback. He was born here and spent the first year of his life here.
That's great. Do you have any memories of particular students?
I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings by saying, how come Epstein mentioned him or her and did not mention me? But that was another sort of special feature of this law school that I haven't seen every place I've been. And that was the extent to which students here really get to know each other, and students here really get to know the faculty. And so that when a faculty member at the University of Arkansas is asked to give a recommendation about a student to a judge or a law firm or some other employer, this is one of those places where that recommendation is going to mean something, because that faculty member is going to actually know that student.
Great. Thank you for your memories.
My pleasure.
Music for Conversations with the Academy was written and performed by Josh Woodward. For more information and additional podcasts, go to kuaf.com or law.uark.edu. You can also listen to episodes or subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, on Stitcher, or with your favorite podcast app. Follow the University of Arkansas School of Law on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for UARK Law. That's UARKLAW. Thank you for listening.